بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If you recall, it's quite critical that we emphasize on this. Last time we met, we spoke about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام postponing and delaying Salat al-Asr until the sun has set. And we know that we have to pray on time. However, sometimes we have a meeting. Sometimes we're engaged in something, or we're at the hospital or in a government office, and we are unable to pray, so we think, until the following prayer comes. So, can I pray qadha? Can I make up for the prayer that I've missed or not? It's an issue of dispute among scholars. The majority say this, you can. You're sinful, but you can. However, the most authentic opinion is that you cannot pray a prayer that its time was over unless the reason for you missing it is legitimate. And what are the legitimate reasons? The Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, if a person sleeps over a prayer or forgets it, not delay it, he forgets it, then he should pray it as soon as he remembers it. He should pray it as soon as he remembers it, because there is no kafara, there is no expiation except that. Now analyze the hadith. There is no kafara, meaning that he did a sin, he was asleep. And if you're asleep, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't burden you. True? He forgot it completely. And if you forget something, does Allah Azza wa Jal hold you accountable? No. Nevertheless, the Prophet said that its expiation is to pray it as soon as you remember, or as soon as you wake up. And that is why Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on his soul, said, Salat is fixed on time. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta, that it was prescribed in a specific time. Prayer is prescribed at a specific time, meaning that if you do not pray it in its specific time, you did not pray it. And likewise with everything that is time bound in Islam. For example, when do we stand on Mount Arafah? On the ninth of Hijjah, of Dhul Hijjah. If someone takes the visa, buys a ticket, goes to the airport, and then he's delayed in the airport because of a strike, and then he reaches Saudi Arabia, Jeddah airport, but then he has a problem with his visa and he's delayed for a day or two. When it is the 12th of Dhul Hijjah, 3 days later, he's cleared out, he goes immediately to Arafah and sits there with his umbrella. What are you doing, brother? He says, I'm standing in Arafah. Yes, but Arafah is only limited to the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Close your umbrella and leave. He said, no, I was forced to do this, and I'm standing in Arafah. Is his Hajj acceptable? No, because he did not do it on time. Likewise, if someone's heard the Adhan of Dhuhr, and he's in a meeting, and people tell him, there is half an hour before Asr, go and pray. So, no, I'll just finish now, quickly. 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes before the Adhan. He said, I cannot leave. We have delegation. I have to stay. And the Adhan is called for Asr. Now, what is his duty? Does he pray Dhuhr and then Asr? Ibn Taymiyyah says, no, he cannot pray Dhuhr. Dhuhr is gone. Huh? What do you mean gone? I want to make it up. I want to do this. It's a football match or whatever. All of these people did not pray prayer on time. And the evidence is the hadith of the Prophet. The two reasons, forgetfulness and sleeping, which a person is actually not sinful. Yet the Prophet said that the only expiation is to pray them as soon as he remembers. makes it quite clear that if you deliberately postpone a prayer without any legitimate reason, then in this case, you cannot make it up. Okay, what about the Prophet ﷺ? The Prophet ﷺ might have forgotten it because of the fear and might have been postponed deliberately because we have two things on the scale, your life or your prayer. So you advance, you prioritize it by saying, no, my life is more important. Once I'm able, I pray. And this cascades, inshallah, to all things that are hazardous to your life. You may do this. A pilot is in an emergency landing. It's time for prayer. He takes an hour or two flying in horrendous conditions. One of the engine is out, the other is on flames. And he goes to the co-pilot, listen, I'm going to pray Maghrib and come back. The whole people are going to die, going to crash. This is an issue of emergency and one should do that. I hope this makes it clear. If you have any questions, we will allocate this, inshallah, at the end of the segment, the grace of Allah. We move on to hadith number 52. And who will give us the honor? Yes, brother.
Narrated Ibn Abbas, once Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delayed the Isha prayer. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab said, O Prophet of Allah, the woman and the children have slept. The Prophet came out and water was trickling from his head and then said, hadn't I thought it hard for my followers, I would have ordered them to offer Salat, Isha prayer at this time. Bukhari.
This hadith, as we've mentioned so many times, is a manifestation to what the Prophet wished, alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, there are a number of narrations of this hadith, and each narration is used differently in different chapters. For example, the same hadith of Anas, a different narration, huh? This is by Ibn Abbas. A different narration by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to delay the Isha prayer until the companions waiting for the prayer in the masjid would fall drowsy and their chins would touch their chest because of their, you know, drowsing and waking. So a lot of the scholars use this narration in the chapters dealing with Tahara. Why? To emphasize whether sleeping nullifies wudu or not. So does sleeping nullify wudu? Yes or no? Yes. I've seen people doing this. Deep sleep. Yes, deep sleep. And what? Does deep sleep by itself nullify wudu? No. The scholars say it is means of nullification. But the sleep itself does not nullify wudu. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ, in an authentic hadith, that the eye is similar to the rope that you tie a water container made of leather with. So the eye to the anus, because if you're awake, you know if something comes out of you, if you pass wind. So the Prophet says the eye to the anus is like the rope that ties a leather water container. If you close it, the rope is untied, which means that the water would come out. And likewise, if you sleep, the possibility of you passing wind without feeling it is quite possible. That is why sleep itself is not means of actual nullification of the wudu, but it causes to. And therefore, the scholars say, if a person sleeps lightly, while being able to feel the surroundings, then this does not nullify wudu. Example, a person is in a taxi going back to the hotel, or in a bus, or in a train, and he's shaking, and you know, children, the minute you put them in cars, they because of the shaking and the movement. We grown up also have this problem. If you're tired and if you're in the car, you just may do this. And you know, your head goes right and left and turning. Now, does this mean I have nullified my wudu? Scholars say no. Because while I'm in this drowsiness, if someone says, Asim is fat, I'm alert. Huh? I work out. What do you mean by I'm fat? And if someone tries to steal something from my pocket, I'm alert. Why? Because I'm sitting, I'm in a ready position. Scholars say that is why if you are sitting down and your drowsiness is light and you can feel the environment, then this napping does not nullify your wudu. But if you're lying down, it's different than when you're sitting up, because you're sitting up, the position is not helping you to pass wind, for example. If you're lying down and you go into a nap, usually you would not feel a thing. And those who are lying down, people come and take things from their pocket, you know, make change of the money and put the wallet back again, and they do not feel anything. This is definitely means of breaking your wudu. So this hadith was used in a number of different chapters. Here, the Prophet ﷺ postponed salat, and the companions were waiting patiently. But Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, because he saw what was happening, he complained to the Prophet ﷺ. What did he say? This is, inshallah, what we will find after the break, so stay tuned.